السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا وقائدنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue and reflect on another name of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And today's name, inshallah, is Al-Ghani, Al-Ghani. And as we always remember that the names of Allah are the ways to know about Allah and are the ways to recognize Allah's attribute all around us. And all this world is created from the attributes of Allah, and every creation and everything in every creation reflect many attributes of Allah. Some of us walk blind and deal with things on its surface, and some can reflect but have no answer and don't know much, and some reflect and know al-haq and has a knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And that is the beauty of this life, or the pleasure of this life. Allah is al-ghani, and some scholars talk about al-ghani wal-mughni in the same topic. The ghina or ghani, al-ghina or al-ghani, it is opposite of poverty and poor. Okay. So poverty is in need of many things. Ghina is absolute independence from everything. So al-ghani meaning the one that does not need anything, and he has everything, and everything depend on him for everything. Okay? Al-Ghani is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who does not need anything, and he has everything. And everything that he created, in everything they have, they depend on Allah in it. Okay, so everything depends on Allah on everything. And Allah is independent from anything that He created and does not need anything for His existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Allah al-Ghani wa antum al-Fuqara. Allah is the Ghani, and you are the one who is Fuqara, you are the one who is poor. Why are we poor? Because everything that we have, we depend on Allah in it. So when we realize that, when we realize that we are poor, we become Aghniya. Okay? When we realize that we are poor, that is when we become rich. Meaning, when we understand that we are in need of everything, that is when we know where we stand with Allah. When we know we're really poor, that is when we depend on Allah, and we are poor by understanding, meaning that that you have what you have and you know you are poor. You'll never be ghani. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make you ghani. First, by the understanding, by knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives you everything, now you are ghani. Okay? Because you know that whatever it is that's written for you will come to you. So if you're asleep and you are safe, if you're asleep and you are healthy in your body is healthy, meaning your health is okay, and you have the food for the day, then you are really rich. See, you are really rich. Because what else do you need? Okay? You need safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the safety giver. He is a mu'min. You need health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides health for you. And you need rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-razzaq, the one who gives you rizq, sustenance. So at any moment, when you have those three things, you are rich. You are independent. Allah made you independent by giving you this. But mankind thinks of being independent more than that. The fear of poverty gives him misery in this life and need of looking for more and more. So looking for more is a sign of being poor. Being poor of understanding or where we stand. But looking for more, to do more and give more, you are carrying the attributes of al-ghani. Meaning you are taking, acquiring, to give and make people independent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would you allow, or you go on and how have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use you so other people will become independent. That is when you are truly rich, truly independent. So being ghani is a state of mind. Before, it's a state of existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had raised the companions this way, made them independent with the state of mind before anything else. The state of Islam, the state of submission and surrender to Allah. So the rizq was very tight. Their safety was in question all the time. As an individual and as a community in Mecca. So there was a fear of death. And physically they did not have much to eat. And their whole community was in fear or in danger. Not fear, in danger. Nothing from Quraysh goes to them and nor anything comes out. They are a total boycott. But they understood that they were very rich. They depended on Allah and only Allah. That is independence in Allah with that sense of being ghani, with a state of mind. State of mind. And when that was sound, when that was in the heart, strong, after that, there was no problems. And the dunya, when the dunya comes, it wouldn't make that much difference. Why? Because they were aghniya with Allah before that. They were aghniya, they were independent. And dependent only on Allah, that's how they became independent. So, when the Muslimin, when the Muslimin took the world and went after it, that is when they truly became poor. Okay? Because now they went after the dunya to acquire it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who was giving him ghina in a state of mind, that state of mind went away, and they were looking, going after the dunya. Each one would look after whatever it is that they can acquire, or they can own, or they can control, or they can command. Even in a way of Allah. Even though, you know, being, you know, in some leadership and fighting over leadership, that is something that is questionable. So, when they went after the dunya, they lost dunya and akhirah. Okay? When they became poor in their state of mind, they truly became poor. The submission went away. The surrendering went away. The dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went away. Okay? And we have that, we know that in Spain. We talked about it many times. Okay? And sometimes we take Spain as the epitome of civilization for Muslimin. And that is wrong. That is totally wrong. Because the epitome of civilization for the Muslimin was at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Cannot be any other time. Cannot be any other time. Okay? You know, the best of mankind was walking on earth in Medina with companions. That was the best of civilization. This is it. Do not look at any other time in history of man, or will ever come in the history of man, and tell me this is the civilization of the Muslimin. No. Okay? So the Muslims build, you know, lofty buildings and masajid that was beautiful and so forth. The Pharaoh of Egypt built better than it, more, even don't know how it was built until now. So if that is the standard of civilization, who's more civilized? The Muslims of Spain or the kafir of Pharaoh? That is not a standard. Okay? But yes, when it, you can take it in a way that when you are submitting to Allah, Allah will give you the means, and you take the means in the way of Allah, you can make a difference in truly inventing things. Yes, in the way of Allah, for the benefit of humanity in the way of Allah. Yes, and you'll be the best of everything. There is no problem with that. Okay? But competing in that, or looking at that and say, that is, you know, why the Muslims are great? No. That is a fruit. That is a fruit. And what is the true fruit? The true fruit is not the comfortable life. The true fruit is not the what you acquire in this life and the safety. Okay? The true you know, reality of comfort of the heart and the mind and the chest is not with these physical things that are around. Okay? It is by surrendering and submitting to Allah, and Allah will give us this ghina in nafs. That your nafs will feel that independent from everything. If you attach yourself to something, someone, to get something from, you're not dependent on Allah. You're not dependent on Allah. And when you're not dependent on Allah, you'll never be rich. You'll never be truly rich and independent. Okay? Because you're dependent on something else. You're going to be the slave in that which you are dependent on. You are independent on your accomplishment. Okay? On this dunya. So you want to accomplish, so you can say, I'm smart, I accomplished this, I accomplished that. You are truly poor, very poor, in a sorry state. Okay? You dependent on your intellect to tell you what is right and what is wrong, what is haram, what is halal. You are, pity on you to think this way. You are truly poor, truly misguided. Okay? dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Okay? Huh? وَاللَّهُ غَنِيُّ حَمِيدٌ. جزاك الله خير. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. قَوْلٌ, that is a saying, that is good saying, and forgiveness. It's better than so it is. If what is saying is a word, forgiveness is does not have to do something physical, right? It's just a state of mind, okay, of a person, of a believer, okay, that you want to say something that is good, you want to forgive. That is better than sadaqah, that is actually something physical that you give to others, needy. يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى, that you follow through with it with harm. You follow through with harm. Okay, meaning you talk about it. I have done this and I have done that. Okay, I have did this, I did that. Remind them with it or show off with it in any degree. Okay? No, this is something Allah will not accept. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And Allah is al-ghaniyyu. The one who does, Allah does not need this. Allah does not need this sadaqah from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives you, makes you independent. Al-Hamid meaning is the one that even though you deal in a bad way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you in a good way. Okay? Will do things for you. Okay? Even though you're not up to the standard of giving in a way, in a proper way. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who give from that which is not good, okay? وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِيهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Okay? And وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِيهِ, you are given something that's not good, and you will not take it. وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِيهِ, you're not the one who will take it except إلا أن تغمضوا فيه. غمض meaning you blink, you close your eyes. You know, imagine you're getting something and it's not good. Okay? And it's not really something that it is as pleasing. Okay? It's, what do you do? You close your eyes. It's something that's not even pleasing to the eye. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need this. You give in this, if you take it, this is what you're going to do. How could you give it? If you are the one, if you are the receiver, you will blink and or close your eyes because of what you're getting is not really up to standard. Why would you give it? Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need this, nor you need this. You should live up to the standard of al-ghani. And give from that which what Allah gives you, and the best of what Allah gives you. Because Allah only gives you the best. Then you give, have this manner, and give only the best. Okay? وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. For Allah, upon people, Hajj, you go into Hajj. For those who are capable of doing so, or have a way to do so. Okay? وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, and the one who is a kafir, the one who's covering this, the one who's pushing this away. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غَنِيٌ عَنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is غَنِي, independent from everything anything and everything. So why are you pushing that away? That is in the way of ta'a and ibadat. Okay? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need us to hold His throne? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. You know, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need of anything? Allah does not need our prayer. Allah does not need our hajj. Allah does not need our sadaqah. We're the one who are poor. And we need everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. We should know where we stand with Allah. Dhul Qarnayn. What did Dhul Qarnayn do? At the last part, when he built the Daradm, build it, and they wanted to give him kharaj, wanted to give him some kind of a compensation for what he did. He said, what Allah has given me is better than all of that. And he did it. He showed them how to build it step by step, so they would know how to do it after he leaves, in case they want to get this, so they will know how to protect themselves after he leaves, the techniques, how to do this. Okay? What did he do after he's done and looked at this magnificent building or radm that he did, that Allah allowed him to do? How did he look at it? What did he say? هذا رحمة من ربي. هذا رحمة من ربي. This is a mercy from Allah. This is a mercy from Allah. Okay? Look at how he looked at it. He did not look at it and admire it. Okay? And says, this is what Allah allowed him to accomplish. You know, he could have said that, but he did not look at it as the building itself, as a structure, and then relate this to the ability that Allah has given him. No, he looked at it as what the function of it. What does it do? It protects those people. Those poor people, those people who could not do on their own, from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So, هذا رحمة من ربي. This is a mercy from Allah. And his ability also to do it by the way of Allah is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. All the whole experience is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So when we give, we should give from the best we have. And should not admire ourselves when we're doing so. And we just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability that He's given us to be able to do so. And think of it as a mercy that Allah is using us, putting this mercy through us, or using us in His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we look at what we do with a state of mind, our life, everything in our life, when you have the state of mind of a person who is deal with Allah as Al-Ghani and knows that the ghina is from Allah, you become sincere. Everything that you do comes in the way of Allah. But if you have the state of mind less than thinking of Allah Al-Ghani, then you'll be doing something for other reason than Allah. Then your sincerity will go away. Do we get this, understand this concept? Concept, you're going on in your life doing many things. Okay? But if you do not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Ghani, you are going to be really poor, because you're going to be doing something with intention that is not purely for Allah. But when you know that Allah is Al-Ghani, you don't need anybody. You only need Allah, therefore you have everything when you have Allah. So you are doing everything in the way of Allah. And we get our state of mind and state of heart, okay, truly dependent of Allah, has tawakkul on Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. So put matters with Allah and become more sure in that which was Allah for us than that which Allah has given us in our hand. Okay? You have something now that Allah has given you, and something Allah has for you, and you don't know what it is. You must be sure in that which is in the hand of Allah more than the one that's in your hand. That is truly being knowing al-ghani. Knowing that what you have go away, what Allah has never go away. And what Allah has will come to you, no matter what happens, it will come to you. As some scholars said, it knows your address, and you don't know its address. Your rizq knows where you are, and you know where it is. You don't know where it is. And you know it in many people. There are some who are very clever and very educated and so forth, and things not quite working with them. Okay? Meaning the way of rizq. The rizq is very tight. And some who do not have much education and so forth, things opens, doors open and keep open for them. So what is that? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's given the rizq. So now, this sincerity, be careful with it. As we were talking the other day, that when you are sincere, you are sincere and you visit your intention as you're doing the work. And then when you're done, alhamdulillah, and trust that this is in the way of Allah. Trust that in the way of Allah. And that's it. You know that you've been sincere and you go on and that's done. There are some ways, like the Sufi al-Munharifa. You know, let's talk about it this way. The crooked way, or the way that is not up to the standards of the Sufis, who build obstacles in the act of worship. Build obstacle in the act of worship. Okay? So they tell you that you need sincerity so much, and no matter what you do, that's not enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. No. That is unacceptable. Okay? They tell you, no matter, like after you've done your deeds and so forth and so on, and you go on and you think of your deeds and say, you still visit your sincerity and say, you know, if sincerity needs sincerity, if you think that you are sincere. Right? But that is not how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that those who were in the cave, right, and a rock came down and blocked the entrance of the cave, each one of them thought of a good deed that they did. They were sincere in the way of Allah in it. And they made dua to Allah through their deeds. They took wasila to Allah through the good deeds. And this is a legitimate way to make dua. You make dua to Allah through a wasila of your good deeds. Because you did it in the way of Allah, in with sincerity in the way of Allah. And each one, after he talked about his good deed, he said, Ya Allah, this is a deed that I done for you, Ya Allah. Meaning he knows that he was sincere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move the rock, and the rock moved a little bit. And the other one, second one, this did the same, the third one did the same. Those are people who knew that their deeds were sincere, and they went to Allah through this dua, and Allah accepted. Okay? So even there are some acts of worship that is made by mankind, is a state of mind, by those who tell you that you know, you just get you some tariqah to Allah, okay? They actually put obstacles in your way to Allah, okay? And you can tell by them putting some levels, right? There is tabaqat, right? Of first is muraqaba, and then this and this and that and this, and you know, there is certain, they have names and so forth, and a way to do this, a way to do that, right? So when you are in the first one and you're trying, they say, you know, as one of them was saying, you know, I've been so many years and I did not move from this yet. And I'm teaching you guys this. If you're teaching this, and you've been in this for so many years, how are you teaching it? That's one. Second, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a meaning of a hadith, a man who is homeless, barely have any clothes on him. Okay? People do not pay attention to him. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. If he swears to Allah, says, Oh Allah, I swear that you do this, Allah will do it for him. Okay? Where is this person in these tabaqat and so forth and so on? Okay. No, it is your deed directly to Allah, not through anyone, and not through any particular steps that is made up for you. And you know that those who are higher steps better than you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay? And they tell you, you know, the only way, you know, to dig it to this level now is when you go to the Shaykh now. And the Shaykh is the one who will be able to get you there. Okay? That's, you know, like, it's almost now, you know, it is beyond our, it's only him now. This is the high level here. And subhanallah. All these obstacles in the way of Allah, by the name of worshiping Allah. It's only one way, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is without any addition of extras or taking away from it. It is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we go in our lives and look at our way of thinking, state of mind, we should deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or with everything thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani and He is al-mughni. He is the one who can give you ghina. There is we absolutely need certain things. When Allah gave us these things that we absolutely in need of, we are done. We are happy. We should be pleased. Okay? Ghani in the language, you know, when somebody has an abundance of something, but not necessarily he becomes ghani. You become ghani when you depend on Allah. If you think you become ghani when you accumulate things in abundance, you'll be the most miserable people on earth. And we know many of those who have an abundance, but yet they are in fear of this abundance will go away. We have those who have so little, but truly dependent on Allah, and Allah made them independent. Allah is al-mughni. He's the one who made them independent with so little things, and they became very independent. Mean they became aghniya. They became independent from everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. What we have, two things will happen to it. Either we'll leave it or it would leave us. What Allah has for us, when we reach it, it will never leave us and we'll never leave it. So we work to that which Allah has for us, not work for that which we can acquire in right now and accumulate and hoard. Okay. Again, that state of mind, another example of the benefit of knowing Allah, the benefit of knowing the attributes of Allah, is that state of mind that makes you very comfortable when you look at things, when things happen to you, when things you can look at. And by the way, also the ghina is how, not necessarily things that is tangible. Ghina also Allah gives you ghina, because He is al-mughni as well, in things that are not tangible. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you understanding of reality of certain things, that is ghina. Okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you able to see things in depth, to see its reality, that is being ghina. That is a ghina that Allah has given you. Okay? And this is something that that we understand with us, with those who are experts, like as we were talking today in the khutbah, we understand that. We understand the what it means to be an expert in something, okay? And we give a lot of ajr for that, right? A lot, abundance of money for that. A person who will come and look at you or look at something and give an opinion in a few minutes, and you give him a lot of money because he's an expert. I remember a time I had pain in my lower abdomen, and I went to the family doctor. So much pain. And the family doctor diagnosed that I have a Zaid al-Dudiyya, the appendix. Right? Right away, you got to go to the emergency room. Right away, this, right? Okay. And I have no knowledge, right? The doctor is the one who's expert, right? Okay. Get to the emergency room, they rush me in and go sit on the bed. And so much pain, I go forward and back, and, you know, my face is this, and going forward and back. And the doctor was coming away, out from far away, and he sees me in the bed. So he's coming very far away. I believe he was eating something, you know, storing around, you know, and coming around and says, and look at me and say, okay, so what's the problem? I said, the appendix. He said, no, it is not. I said, what do you mean? He said, you have a kidney stone. Okay? Just by walking a few steps and looking at me. I said, how do you know? He said, the appendix, if you have the appendix, it is sore. And if it is sore, your back will be straight and you're afraid to move because every time you move, it becomes, you're pushing it and it becomes painful. And you're going back and forth like that, that is not the appendix, absolutely not. But you have a kidney stone and it is trying to come out, and the movement, it showed me that your body is trying to push it out. And he was right. He was right, okay, and alhamdulillah, it came out. But that's my point. The point is, how much money you put in that, okay? What? How much time did he spend looking at me? Only a minute. But it's worth a lot. It's worth a lot because of the experience and the knowledge that he has. My point here is, we accept that in all professions except ulama, in deen. Okay? We accept that in all professions, but when it comes to those who have the knowledge, I know better than you or something, or take their words aside. What do we have in our masajid today? In many masajid, what do they have? Huh? But as far as the imam, what do we have? We have what? A director. A director. They take the title away. Okay? Or a visiting scholar or resident scholar. Or they take the word imam out. Or they put it aside somewhere. Okay? So it is similarly, and the same thing in our deen. In our deen, a general people will be sitting, listening to someone, listen to a lecture, listen to something, and then one knowledgeable person will be sitting there, and then tells you afterwards, be careful, be very careful with this. You actually feel good. You actually feel good. Okay? And you have someone with a knowledge tell you, be careful with that. What kind of nonsense is that? Because he has a knowledge and you do not. Okay? And I gave this example before. It is not what is taught. It is how it is taught and the sequence is taught. Because what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, he taught in a certain sequence, in a certain methodology, okay, with a certain information. All of it has to be the same. All of it has to be the same. Okay? If you take the information, the correct information, But you go into the knowledge that's number 10. Before knowledge number 1, you're going to cause a lot of harm. So you have person talking to the people that they did not pass the steps of number 1. And he's talking to them about steps number 10. And it's very stimulating. And people are, whoa, wow, you know, this is so good. It is just like you are eating junk food that is so delicious and it will cause you cancer. A nutritionist can tell you that and you believe him. Another expert will tell you, no, don't eat that because it's really bad for you. But you tell him it is so good. Tell you, but I know, but it's so bad. If you go for a month eating this, 1, 2, 3, 4 will happen to you. And you go eat it and this what happens to you. So similarly, when if you go to teach people about usul al-fiqh immediately, usul al-fiqh, where is the law? How do you derive the law? Where it is coming from? Not the law itself. It is where it is coming from. It's high level of knowledge. People who do not know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah yet, do not know the concept of Tawheed yet. What happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built the hearts and then took them to fiqh. And then usul al-fiqh came later on. Now you go to usul al-fiqh before you make this heart tender to the mention of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened? That hardens the heart. That hardens the heart and kills the heart. And it teaches you to use your mind and not your heart with your mind. So you can eventually look at a hadith and say, wait a minute, and scratch your head and say, wait a minute, let me see. That doesn't make sense. And you start, who said it? Was it one person or two? And was it this or that? Well, and you try to break down the hadith of Rasulullah that is sahih, that al-Bukhari said was sahih, that Imam Muslim said was sahih, that's muttafaq alayh, and you now going to look at it and break it down and think about it and maybe take it or not and so forth. How dare you do this? Because you were taught usul al-fiqh before you taught the tawheed. Okay? So the general public, when if someone comes up and says, this talk is dangerous, and you really, this talk is stimulating your mind, and you say, what is this? How could you say that? That you are extremist, you are this, you are that. No. If it doesn't fit in your mind now, ask the one who's telling you that. Why this is not right? And he will explain it to you, and it will make sense to you. Why? Because he is an expert in that matter. He is an expert in that matter. If for example, if someone comes to you, said, you know, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there, and he was putting their hand with the companions before the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, and tahta shagara, إِذْ يُبَيْعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, when they are giving you bay'ah under the tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hand of Allah over their hand. That is what the Quran says, what Allah says. And if the one who's talking tell you, and Allah is telling them, He is helping them, He is giving them an aid, and He is with them in their hand. If I hear that, that's a question mark immediately. Why? Who can tell me why? What's wrong with what I said? Let me tell you again. Okay, if someone looking at this and say, "When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recite the verse, we had Allah fawqa aydihim, and the hand of Allah is with them and so forth," and then explain, you know, they were there with Rasulullah sallam, they give him bay'ah, and they put their hand together, and Allah says He has His aid and help with them. Because when he explained it, did not say yadullah, the hand of Allah over their hand. What is it? So what's not a big deal and so forth? That could be a big deal. If there are other things in the lecture to add to this, or other things that is done that would add to this in the same way, we'll say, wait a minute, this is, you know, why? Because Talking about Asma'ullah al-Husna, remember, what is the basic issue with Asma'ullah al-Husna? We confirm to Allah what Allah confirms for Himself. And we deny for Allah what Allah denies for Himself. Right? So if Allah says, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, Allah's hand over their hand, and I ask, does Allah have a hand? What do you say? Yes. With your full mouth, you say, yes, Allah has a hand. Why? Because Allah said, His hand is over their hand. But Allah says, Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like Allah. So what does Allah's hand look like? We don't know. Wal'a'adhu billah. We don't know. There is no tashbih. We do not say that Allah's hand. So if you find somebody's talking and running away from this in his thought, and give you a hand, meaning that, and if they tell you, you know, like, you know, in English we say, let me give you a hand. Does that mean, did you give you my hand? No, I mean, give help, help. So Allah's help is with them. When you sense that, you know that, because this is a way of thinking of a group, okay? When you sense that, a knowledgeable person will look at this and listen to this and put a question mark. And if there is other things that would get similar question mark, then you can, in the one with the knowledge in mind, this person is, you know, is his thinking ideology is going that way. But none of those sitting would capture that. Okay? And maybe that kind of way eventually brings that kind of a disease of the heart. Then the one with the knowledge will tell you, you know, watch out. This way is going to do this. Is come on. You know, I taste this food and it's so delicious. Yes, but if you continue, you're going to have a heart attack. Okay. Again, I don't know where we got here. But we summarize that the one who is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is rich. And the one who is poor to Allah, Allah will give him richness and independence. And the independence of understanding this with the mind and the intellect of the heart as well is a benefit that has no equal in this way, in this life. And that goes with every and all the attributes of Allah. It takes you to a state of mind and a state of heart that it has no equal. Because you are understanding Allah. Not totally, we cannot contain Allah, but you are in the path of knowing Allah. And knowing Allah with the limitation that Allah has given us. And that is the best disposition you are in, or you could be in this life. The disposition that qualifies you for Jannah, and even some scholars says it is a disposition of Jannah on this earth right now before the Jannah of the hereafter. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله, please go ahead and make the comments, إن شاء الله. Subhanallah.
Yeah. Just to add to the
microphone. Yeah. I know, but
you want to record my.
Yes, let's keep the sunnah, you know.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just the thought, if we carry it a little bit farther, the Allah al-Ghani, that's He does not need also our efforts and the way we are doing things. We are recommended or commanded to do things in the way of Allah, but sometimes we do things and we said, oh, I am tired, I'm doing this and that. So Allah really does not need He could bring somebody else to do it, or He could do it by Himself. He does not need our complaining about that we are doing things in the way of Allah. So it's for us, it's not for him. So if we do something, we should not think that Allah is in need of us to do these things. So why I'm saying that, because it's happened sometimes, you know, that we reach a point that, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and we are become happy with ourselves that we are doing, you know, good things. So we don't do farther more. We don't go one more step. You know, we said, oh, I'm doing plenty. Like enough for Allah what I'm doing. You see what I mean? It's like, it happens sometimes, you know. So we have to know that Allah ghani on this. He does not need what we are doing. Nor we are doing it for his, you know, to benefit him. It's for us in the end what we are doing. Mm-hmm. And Allah even told Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wala tamnun tastakthar." So do not feel that this is too much and become, you know, mm-hmm. tell him that it's too much for me to do this and do that. Wallahu alam.
There was one sheikh, he had his students with him, but they were...
Speak in the microphone, please.
But they were very less privileged. So one person who, from worldly point of view, he was ghani. So he came and he came... Ghani, like...
He was what? Ghani.
He had... little bag of coins, and he gave to the sheikh, and he said that this is for your students or whoever are here, because they don't have anything. So sheikh somehow he judged that why is he giving that. So he said that, do you want some more of these? He said that yes, he thought that Sheikh will say something and I will have like rain of coins or something, I will have lot of money. So he said yes. So Sheikh said, you deserve these coins more than them, because you have whole lot, but you still have desires to have more. They do not have, but they don't have desire to have.
Yeah. And then
I heard this one time during a Jummah khutbah that Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu knew the condition of his friends, companions, and he approached to Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu. And he told him, you know, that he got a bag of jewels or whatever, and he said, you know, this is for you as a gift, because you have daughters and you need them, you need this for their marriage. So he thought for a while and he returned it. He said, no, I have instructed my children to read Surah Kahf at night, every night, according to follow the hadith. And it was said later on in the life, you know, his children were among the richest people.
Surah Al-Waqi'ah.
Surah Al-Waqi'ah.
Al-Waqi'ah, yes, yes. Yes. Yes.
That's common.
Yes. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu anna ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.